Hey, shitheads, exciting announcement alert. We've got merch.
There are a few ways that you can get your hands on this merch. One, keep checking our Instagram story for periodic giveaways.
And two, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/upshitscreek, sign up at the podcast producer level, and you'll get your pick of either a t-shirt, a tote bag, or a mug.
And remember, shitheads, this is all while supplies last, and this stuff is not for purchase. It is going to be given away to all of our fabulous listeners. That's you.
And now, on with the show.
What, are those sweatpants?
I started getting dressed for work and I got distracted.
What could have possibly distracted you enough to do that to yourself?
It died, David.
Okay, if you're talking about your style, we can bring it back to life.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm glad to be able to sit in the same room with another person.
That is for sure. Are we 6 feet apart? More or less.
I'd say maybe like 4.5.
Okay. Well.
But I think I trust you if you trust me.
I trust you. We're going to take this week by week, I guess. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We may get to the point where we're Skyping each other this.
I shudder to think what the sound quality would be if we did that.
But you know, hey, if it's what we got to do, it's what we got to do.
That's right.
These trying times.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, though? In a weird way, I'm glad. The way that TV works is that all the shows, they've already shot their episodes.
Right.
Everything's already been edited and locked for the most part. So TV has gone uninterrupted during these trying times, which has been for me like a saving grace.
True.
I don't know what I would do if all I had to watch was like old episodes of The Office. I probably would kill myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, thankfully, there's a myriad television shows to watch. New things to like catch up on and stuff. And
podcasts.
I haven't found that to be the case.
Really?
You know what it is? I have enough podcasts in my queue and as it is.
Well, what I mean is they're still able to record.
Oh, yeah.
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 They're but still like, able to do it.
Yeah. Although that's getting tough too because a lot of people don't want like the big conglomerate podcasts, you know?
Oh, yes.
They are also a corporation like anything else. So
that's why I looked
to keep it low
to my favorite comedians. You know, especially right now when you need that comedic relief.
Oh yeah,
I know D'Elia. Yeah. He was one of my favorite. Is
yeah,
freaking on fire right now with this shit.
I see his tweets, and he's being very funny about the whole thing.
Yeah, he is. I mean, what else can we do right now?
Yeah,
I post nonstop on my personal page.
Man.
Because that's all I got right now.
Yeah.
You know, it saves me from freaking the fuck out about this.
I get it.
Honestly. And I refuse to freak out about it, even though I've had my little moments. But I think a lot of us have because we're human beings. And it's a little scary.
Yeah.
But everything's going to be fine. We just have to stay the fuck away from each other right now. You know what I mean? Like FaceTime people, Skype people, call people.
I know.
Let's do it old school again. Like, let's keep in touch over the phone, have those long conversations with people like we used to have.
Yep. You know, speaking of virtual events, and maybe this is this Schitt's news?
I say so. Beep, 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 beep.
One of the angels in the Facebook group that we're always referencing, who I feel like I can't give by name or say by name because I don't know if they want to be name dropped, and I should have thought about this before we started recording, but there's going to be a virtual open mic night.
I'm very excited about this.
Within that Facebook group.
Yes.
Well, when this comes out, it'll be Monday, so this Wednesday, the 25th.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. It's also a genius idea.
Yep.
Like, talk about doing virtual events and like hanging out with people virtually. Like, this will be amazing when it comes together and
it will be
everything falls in place. It's a genius idea. And I cannot wait.
And you and I are going to do something, right?
I cannot wait to participate in it and to see everyone else participating in it and the community building it's going to do. Oh, my goodness. I'm really excited about it.
I know. I can't wait to see the talent that is out there.
Yeah, which, you know, there's a billion people with a talent, you know, like, and who want to share it or willing to share it. It's a beautiful thing. So look for that, I guess. Hopefully it'll get like hopefully we can record it somehow or it'll be recorded. So then it'll be sort of saved forever, you know, kind of thing. And then maybe we could even share it like on the Patreon or something.
That would be a lot of fun.
It would be awesome if that happens. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yes. Any other shits news to share?
I don't think so. If everybody's been following Dan,
he is
self-quarantining.
His cooking show he's been doing on Instagram.
I get so excited every day when I see him post a new recipe. And today it was egg salad sandwich.
I'm going to say right now, who was that second piece of toast for? Okay.
Dan, let us know.
You know that he's not quarantining himself alone, okay?
It's for Redmond.
I'm just saying. Like, I mean, he doesn't strike me as a two-piece of toast kind of guy, so, you know?
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he would.
Oh, yeah. But if you do follow him, which I'm sure every single one of you that listens does, oh, my God. I hope you're all getting a kick out of these daily recipes as well, because I look forward to it right now more than ever.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
He's being very fun.
Yes, in these times. Yes, he is. I think that's it for shits news.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I mean, we know that a bunch of Noah's concert dates got pushed.
Yeah.
And they've pushed a lot of the farewell tour dates as well. Well, at least I know about the LA one, which was the first one that was going to be on May 1st, which, you know, it's tough. But the good thing is we know that they'll be rescheduled.
Sure.
That they're just being postponed and not canceled.
Yeah.
So, you know, things to look forward to. The back half of 2020 is going to be chock-a-block full of the most amazing events that have ever happened. Because not only is it stuff that we all want to do, but also it's like not being able to have done them for like a long time when we wanted to do them is just going to make them that much sweeter.
When we don't have to self-quarantine anymore, nobody's ever going to be at home.
Dude, I'm going to go to the beach so much. I've never been to the beach in like 6 years, but I'm fucking going to the beach.
I'm going to go lay out in the middle of the street. Jesus Christ.
And just high five the cars going by.
Fucking love you, brother. Love you, sister.
Free hugs.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to walk around with a sign that says free hugs because I can now. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'll never take any of that shit for granted ever again.
Amen.
Ever again.
That is the one, I think, good thing that has come out of this. Not the one good thing. Several good things, I would imagine, have come out of this. But one of them is that I feel like people are really starting to appreciate human connection and that sort of community a lot more, that we don't take it for granted, you know?
Do you follow Josh Gad?
No. I mean, I see him in my Explore page once in a while on Instagram, but that's it.
Did you see his post today?
It's okay to cry wearing his
Samantha hat. And I want to say something. I did. Yeah. When I watched that with him, when I watched that, I cried with him because it's true. I mean, it sucks seeing our kids who are so full of life and stuff right now, just not being able to live it.
Yeah.
And I felt that. And I saw all the comments and I saw people like appreciate that too. I'm glad he did that because, you know, all these other people, and I love it. A lot of these Hollywood stars are doing the funny posts, and I love that too. Ellen's calling all of her friends all day long.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Yeah. A lot of people doing a lot of stuff right now just to keep everybody's spirits high. Yeah. And I like that Josh took a moment to like cry. I really appreciated that. You feel it. I mean, you wake up and you're like, okay, another day to do this.
Yeah.
Just this. These are the times.
These are the special times.
Is that a song you just made up?
No.
I don't know what song that
is.
It's
a classic song.
From?
Well, the only version I've heard of it is Celine Dion on her Christmas album.
Whoa.
But I know it was a cover, but so I don't know who's the original. And I don't even know if it's supposed to be a Christmas song, although maybe.
Maybe.
Because I think there might be a reference to Christmas in it.
I love how you're like, it's a classic song. Okay. I don't know which one, but okay.
You know how I don't know anything about movies?
I don't know anything about classic songs. And there you go. All right. So enough about the quarantining.
Yeah, does that do it for Schitt's News? Cool.
Oh, God, please. Yeah.
All righty. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yes.
This is episode 611, titled The Bachelor Party. Mm. And the Pop TV synopsis is, the Roses attend the escape room portion of David and Patrick's bachelor party, but their participation wanes the more their personal dilemmas come to a head.
Okay.
That's like the longest Pop really TV synopsis I think we've ever seen.
I never thought you were going to stop.
Yeah, right? It's also a rare occurrence, mm-hmm. and Dan even spoke about this on, like, the behind-the-scenes thingy for this episode, where all the storylines sort of converge into one place.
Yeah.
And the entire third act of the show takes place in one location with everybody in it.
Yep.
Which has, like, never happened before.
I know, which is really cool, too.
Very cool. It was a strong episode.
Absolutely. The episodes where they all are together, the comedy is fucking hard. It is hard. And that's what I love when they have those scenes, when they have those storylines, like you said, and everything just brings it all together in the end. You're like, oh, God, here we go. Here come the funnies.
Yeah.
And it never fails.
No. It's hard to. I mean, yeah. This cast is like lightning in the bottle.
Yeah.
And they've captured it. And
they,
it's amazing.
They all play a part.
Yeah.
In that funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Even Patrick.
Even, I think, well, listen, I'll save it for okay. the episode. But,
okay.
Because let's start the way we always start with.
Oh, word. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. Word up. Yep. The segment where we give you our word.
Why don't you start us off?
Okay. Well, I struggled a little bit with what I wanted my word to be in this episode. And if I'm being really honest, and Lady J can back me up on this, I had to look for some synonyms here because I wasn't sure if I had used any of these words before, but because they all kind of just like went together. They all sounded the same. But at the end of it, I picked my word and it is unity. The state of being united or joined as a whole.
Ah.
It all goes back to what we just talked about. So unity.
I like
for
it.
Me. Yes.
I like it. So like you, I also had to play the synonym game because, well, and here's the trippy thing. So I picked my word. I knew it right away. And then something told me to look and see if I've used it before, which I've never had that feeling, you know, like, but
yeah.
I guess because it was so sort of like commonplace, I was mm-hmm. like, have I used this word before? And sure as shit, I had. So I had to look up synonyms for it and ended up with stirring.
Oh, okay.
So stirring is defined as causing great excitement or strong emotion.
I like it.
And I feel like with pretty much everybody in this episode, they are being stirred.
Yeah.
There's a stirring within them.
Yeah.
And so, stirring.
Good word. Solid word.
Yay. Did we get any submissions from any listeners?
We did. We got a submission from Zach Tack.
Ah, Zach Tack.
Longtime listener, longtime friend.
Welcome, welcome.
He sent us the word plucky.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Means to pull off or out from a place of growth, courage, bravery. Mostly applicable to Alexis's journey yeah. here, but also to Moira and the Rosebud Empire.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see you, Zach Tack.
Plucky. Mm-hmm.
Bringing it. Yeah.
That's a good word.
I do like that.
It was one of Moira's words.
Yeah, exactly.
She's plucky. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that. Thank
That's
you, Zach
one.
Tack.
Yeah. Well done. Well done.
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive into this, shall we?
Yes, please.
This is going to be a rare occasion for us to just sort of go linearly, I think, mm-hmm. because there's not really much to jump around with. Stevie has gathered David and Patrick in Patrick's apartment. Mm-hmm. At what point do we call it David and Patrick's apartment?
Now.
I mean,
come on.
He's still technically living at the motel, though, right?
Yeah, we see them there often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she's gathered them there, and they're holding up their I'm with Stupid, I'm Stupid t-shirts, which we've seen in the trailers for the season, and we can't believe we're finally here.
Yeah. Listen. You and I need to get one of those shirts.
I love it.
Both of those shirts.
But also, like, how do we pick? Like,
let's just say that I'll be the one without the arrow, okay?
No. Yes. No, I think to your credit, like...
No, you're more than Patrick to my David.
I mean, no, that's true. But I don't think that you're stupid. I think that we each get one of each. And then we pick and choose when we wear them, and that'll
what
be
fun. What if we both wore them at the same time?
But isn't that how it's supposed to be? Like, that was the point, right? That David's like, where's my arrow? And she's like, no, I got yours custom made.
I love it.
They're so funny. David is serving a lot of face in this scene.
Yes.
He's doing a lot with his face to indicate how disdainfully, like, unimpressed he is with all of that mm-hmm. Stevie's done for them. And listen, I'm proud of Stevie. She fucking pulled this out.
Like, she did.
She took all of their, David's ridiculous demands and planned something that they can both be happy with, I think.
Given the circumstances and the town that they live in.
And the lack of funds, let's face it.
Right. You know? And she did it without Alexis, because we know Alexis is holed up in her room.
Man, yeah.
So,
yeah,
not going anywhere. And she did by herself.
Stevie freaking crushed it.
Yeah, like, she did.
She was able to make them both happy, or give them both a semblance of what they wanted.
Yeah.
And she did it, like, all by herself, like you said, and it's fucking awesome. So.
Yeah. Even the presentation of it, where she stood up and just, like, announced it to the both of them what was going to be happening with her little glass of champagne.
David, you wanted something chic and elegant. I have arranged for a night of customized appetizers and cocktails at the Wobbly Elm.
Wow, that's bleak. But thank you for planning that. There
we go. Patrick?
Yeah.
You just wanted one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So before we indulge in an elegant night of shots, we will all experience the thrill of Elmdale's finest and only escape room.
Yes! Okay, isn't that a Jodie Foster movie?
No, David, that is Panic Room. An escape room is like a fun group game where you're trapped in a room and you have to solve all these puzzles and get out.
You lost me at fun group game. I'm sorry, my family agreed to this?
Your family hasn't responded to a single email, so they will be doing what we tell them to do.
I love Patrick's reaction to escape room.
Yes!
His excitement makes me, like, very happy.
He's like a kid.
Yeah.
Like, yes!
He, like, full-on, like, fist pumps the air.
Yep.
Also, I don't quite understand David's reaction of, you lost me at group game. Because the man loves a good games night.
Right?
I think it's the thought of doing it with his family that's causing him anxiety about
that
it.
Actually makes a lot of sense there.
But I feel like he should be excited about it. I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't like escape rooms. Well, I mean, I think we find out later, but...
He doesn't do very well under pressure.
That's true.
I don't think really... Well, Alexis does, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think... Many of the roses, besides Lexis, do very well under that type of pressure.
I would agree with that.
Especially because they're so concerned with everything else that's going on in the world other than this. You know, we know Johnny has something very important he's waiting for. So I get it. They're kind of about it.
He and Moira play such a funny part
in
the escape room scene, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
The two of, like, their coupling amidst the rest of them in that room is very funny, like, just the way that they're doing their thing. We'll get there. David is less than pleased about this whole thing. Patrick is excited about his escape room, and
Stevie's just trying to do what she thinks she's got to do,
man. And again, props to her. She's doing her best. I love her for it.
Yeah.
And then we cut over to the cafe where Moira is regaling Twyla and Ronnie with the whole story from last episode about her and Tippy and Clifton and how she made all these ridiculous demands so that she could get out of it. And Ronnie's like, what the hell, man? Like, you've been trying to get out of this town so for 3 years. This is your chance, and you turned it down. And Moira's like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm a hot commodity right now. There's more opportunities coming my way.
God bless Twyla for just always being that person that is just like, oh my God, about everything. I absolutely adore her for that.
She's going to be happy for Moira, or for anybody.
Anybody.
No matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what they say, she's going to meet it with, That's great. That's amazing. You're awesome. You're a star.
I know, but it also makes me like want that for her. Every single time I see her in a scene.
Nobody ever reciprocates that to her.
Ever. Every time we get her in a scene and she's acting this way, that she's very excited for somebody else other than herself, I get very much like, okay, when is Twyla going to have that happen for her? You know?
Yeah.
Still waiting. Still waiting on it.
I do feel like Dan will do right by her. Or I should say Dan will have done right by her, as we shall see.
You know, I hope so. I can't imagine at this point, though, what it would be.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, because they haven't really laid any groundwork for anything for her.
But also, as we've discussed in the past, Twyla is just happy being.
That's the thing with Twyla, is I do feel like in the truest sense of the word, she is a townie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And she's happy with it.
Yeah.
I mean, she never complains. Mm-mm. You know, everybody else in this town complains and they're blah about something. And she's always just the little chipper townie, as you said, who's just, she's, you know, in the background, like, I'm cool. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. You know? But she's more than just set dressing also, which is why I think we have such a strong connection to her and we care about her as much as we do.
Yeah.
Because she is like a part of the fabric of the show. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there's only a handful of episodes left, so.
Three more after this, right? Oh, stop it. Okay, move on. Move on.
I was trying to avoid the number.
Move on. I can't take it. God.
Well, anyway, so Moira is excited to share that she has been given an opportunity to do radio voiceover work. She seems very excited about it for a major international airline.
At any point, did you think this was going to be Larry Eyre?
No.
Me either.
In a million years, I was like, okay, it'll probably be like a fake airline. I didn't think it would be Larry Eyre.
I thought that we had learned our lesson already with Larry Eyre.
I mean, but, you know, that also gets explained. So when she shows up at the booth, she's all excited. She is raring to go. She's in her little booth, and they've got the copy on the stand, and they just need her to read everything as is and just bring all the vigor in the world.
The copy's on the stand. We'd like for you to read it exactly as written.
Oh, wow. Prolific amount of material. And I am being paid for each spot.
We agreed to a flat rate with your publicist.
Well, there'll be nothing flat about my performance.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, Moira, just start at the top and...
High energy.
Con brio, si.
Oh, my God. That line every single time.
It's amazing.
Con brio, si. I love it. Holy shit. I'm going to go around saying that.
Yeah, you should.
I'm going to write in my book of all the things I'm going to steal from Moira and go around and say.
Right.
At this point.
At this point, of all the words Moira's ever used, right?
I could write a novel, seriously.
So I had to look it up, obviously. And what I find fascinating about it is not only is she, for whatever reason, deciding to speak in Spanish, I don't know, in that moment. But combrio is a musical direction that means with vigor, which means that what she's doing is like plucking out of her brain like a musical direction she's gotten for like her perform, like, you know, like in a musical or on stage or whatever. And she's like, yes, okay, I understand. I'm locked in now. Yes, okay. Like, she's just, she is something else, God damn it. I love her so, every episode, I love her more and more. Right. How is that possible?
It just is. With Moira, anything is possible.
Gosh.
She is a woman of this world. Mm. Like, she has traveled to every single part of this humongous earth, and she takes, like, these types of things, and she locks it, and she keeps it there, and then she pulls it out in times like this, and you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
This is why you're Moira Rose.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else in this world that I've ever met or I've ever seen does shit like this, man. And it's so fascinating, honestly, to watch her and like, of course you're going to say something like that.
I know.
It's great.
No, so she's reading the copy. She's trying to find it, you know, and she's doing what I've seen a lot of voiceover artists do in the booth, which is repeat the lines over and over again, inflect it differently each time, find something new with each line as they go. And so she's doing that, you know, she keeps saying the same line over and over and she's playing with it in her mouth. And the guy on the other side is just like, okay, just run through it, please, as is. Like, I don't need your commentary, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's looking at Alexis like, can you handle your client, please? So, like, Alexis has to, like, be his mouthpiece, which is awkward at best.
Yeah.
With her own mom, you know? And the copy is ridiculous, let's face it. Put your derriere in Larry Air. What the fuck? We'll get you from there to here.
None of this shit should be on commercials. Like, we already know Larry Air is like a fucking whack ass airline.
Yeah.
And their commercials are too.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck?
I know.
We'll get you from there to here. Like, what? Like,
she goes, well, that should be switched. I mean, like, come on. It's obvious, you know?
Yeah.
And so she is like not having it. She's kind of like, you can see she starts to panic a little bit. She's like, what am I, like, I can't work like this, Alexis. What am I doing? And even Alexis acknowledges, okay, I'm sorry. I was just looking for anything for you to do after this whole Tippi Bernstein thing. And I wasn't really paying close attention to it, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad that she realizes it, though.
I'm glad she owns up to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, and then Moira drops the bomb on her, like, is this what my life has come to? Like, are we back here again?
Man.
Really?
That's a rough, that is a tough, I think, thing. It's, and it's so funny, too, because, like, literally hours ago in the cafe, she was like, it's every actress's dream to do voiceover. And I guess what she means, or I don't know what she was expecting or what she thought it would be, you know?
I don't either. I don't think that she really knew, because Alexis didn't really know. She didn't pay that much attention, so she didn't really give her, like, you know, the 411 on what this was going to entail. But they got there, and it went to shit fast. And Alexis was very apologetic. She owned up to it. She told Moira, basically, like, you go. Start the car.
Moira's like, oh, no, I possibly couldn't.
She's, like, backing out of the room. The best thing is she, like, blows her a kiss. Like, I'm out of here. And then there's Alexis trying to save the day.
Okay.
Or whatever you want to call it.
I don't know how you felt, but as soon as she said, okay, I'll take care of this, and she's picked up the headphones, this little thing inside of me was like, oh my God, she's going to discover that this is her thing.
Yep, exactly what I thought.
She's going to sit in front of that microphone, and she's going to fucking crush the voiceover, and then that's going to be the world that opens up for her, you know?
That's exactly what I thought was going to happen.
We got something so much better.
Try one of our in-flight meals, if you dare, at Larrier.
I'm sorry, this is not good, so.
Holy shit! First of all, I don't even know where to start with this. The fucking line that she read. Try one of our in-flight meals if you dare.
Full disclosure, I never once paid attention to what she was saying.
You didn't?
Because I was so enraptured with the voice, with the imitation of Moira.
That's what she said.
Oh my God.
Try one of our in-flight meals if you dare.
Fucking funny.
It's hilarious.
Her doing Moira is worse than me doing Moira. And that is saying something.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, the listeners have heard it. It's awful when I do it.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. And she's worse. And it's just so funny that she feels like she has to do Moira. Like, what is happening?
Because the guy even said, like, okay, just record.
Whatever.
He tells the guy, like, just roll. Just record it.
Yeah.
We'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely not going to go anywhere. No.
And then she too does that whole, like, okay, I'm just gonna leave now, bye.
Yeah, like, awkwardly just gets the hell out of Dodge,
man.
So this didn't go as planned. Didn't work out for them,
but it does feel like it's not the end.
No. And when she, you know, to go back to when she's in the hotel room with David and she's talking to him about, like, what the hell, her plant has died Ted gave her. Her desert flower.
Her desert daisy.
Desert daisy. Love that. And she's like, okay, I only have one client here. Nobody else in this town
needs a publicist.
No.
Yeah.
So she is already questioning, what the fuck am I doing? Mm. I got a little nervous about that because I was afraid that this was going to turn into like a Stevie situation where she was like sulking and like, oh no, look at me, what is going to happen, what am I going to do? And then I was nervous that they were going to do this with Alexis, but as quickly as that started, it ended
right
in a really smart way too. We would never peg her for somebody who could get anybody out of like one of these escape rooms, right? But what do we know about Alexis? Is that
her life is an escape room.
Exactly. So it made perfect sense.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And everything just started to fall in line after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just worked. And again, why this show is so brilliant.
Yeah.
The way they tweak it to like, okay, this is going to happen and now everything's going to make sense after that. It's perfect. Yeah.
But what I was referring to when I said that it's going to be okay is for Moira. when this whole thing falls apart for her, I never once had the sense of, oh shit, maybe her career is over now, you know? Like, I still feel hopeful, and I still think that she feels hopeful about her prospects and what can happen from here for her.
Yeah.
And I also think it's because she does have faith in Alexis, and the fact that Alexis, like, beefed this one, you know, is less a reflection on her capability as a publicist and more of a reflection on just, like, where she is in her life right now, you know,
yeah.
and, like, the sort of turmoil that she's in. I think that Alexis is flailing right now. When Moira says about, like, is this what my life is? Alexis is like, is this what my life is? They're both a little bit, you know, Alexis especially is like just sort of all over the place right now. While all this is going on, Johnny is very excited. He calls an impromptu meeting with him and Roland and Stevie.
Yes.
Because he got in touch with his ex or his old assistant, mm-hmm. who is now a big shot venture capitalist in New York, and sort of gave him like a teaser of the idea, you know, that they have to expand Rosebud Motel Group, which I love that they've named it. It's amazing.
Yes.
And he's very excited. Johnny's very excited to share with Roland and Stevie that there's a possibility they might have a meeting for to potentially invest in the Rosebud Motel Group.
Yes.
And Stevie and Roland understandably are like, okay, sure, cool. We might get a phone call that might lead to a meeting, whatever. And Johnny's like, now listen, guys, keep this under your hats. Like, don't, you know, go spreading this news around.
I'm pretty sure I can keep this one to myself.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about me. I mean, if the local papers ask me about the rumor that you might be getting a phone call.
All right. You know what, Roland? You can go and finish your sandwich now.
Thank you. And by the way, Johnny, you should check to make sure this place isn't bugged. We wouldn't want the big news to leak out.
It is big news. Probably.
Like, that shit's funny. Roland it's came so with good. The funny there.
Roland is absolutely the funniest he's been in a long time in this episode. And in that scene in particular, the way he's just like, okay, so Johnny, I was really busy being excited like you asked me to be, and I'm confused. Like, that line gets me every time. I got myself just now saying it. Like, it's very funny.
Yeah, I mean, even Stevie is like, okay, and?
Yeah, so?
Keep going.
Right.
And Johnny doesn't have much. But he's excited.
I will say, too, I love the touch that any other show, if your old assistant was now this hotshot, big shot guy, the story would be like you're too proud to talk to him or you have this weird power dynamic struggle or whatever. Not an ounce of that in this.
No.
He's just excited to have a contact that might be able to get them where they need to be.
Absolutely.
Whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that from him. And he's so excited. He's so like giddy with potential of what could happen here that he just had to tell them.
I also love that he hasn't said anything to the family yet. That
this
is like strictly between him and Stevie
it's
and Roland.
It's a business deal.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Not going to get anybody's hopes up. I'm not going to go and like tell everybody what's happening. Let's figure this out if this is a thing. But he's excited.
Yes.
And we're excited for him.
I know. It is very like fun to see
it
him
is.
And so the whole thing is like he's gonna get a call from Mike Meyerson
Morrison
from Mike Morrison at some point today.
Yes.
And so he's got Roland manning the phones.
This is one of those instances where it's like, why?
Well, as Stevie says, maybe he's not the guy we want manning the phone.
Okay, there are those moments, there have been those moments throughout this show where we're like, Why did anybody think that Roland was the man for right? this job?
Right.
It's a classic case of Johnny just being a hopeless optimist, mm-hmm. you know, and always just wanting for the best and hoping for the best and not quite learning the lessons of his missteps.
Yeah.
Know? Especially when it comes to Roland, who he has somewhat of a blind spot for, weirdly, you yeah. know. But so he and Stevie are outside. Stevie's packing the car for the bachelor party stuff. And Johnny has brought this blown up picture of baby Dan, which, oh my God.
Stop. Everybody stop what you're doing right now. And if you have not seen this, look, play the episode, pause it, and just adore. Just sit there and like adore this picture of Dan as a baby.
Dude, he is so cute.
My God.
So cute.
The little face is the one like squeeze him.
He's just like a little
I like love him forever. And I love that like Johnny Eugene
right.
hands this picture over like, no big deal. That's just my kid.
I had this blown up.
Yeah, really.
And love Stevie's it. Loves it because it's going to embarrass the shit out of him. It's so good. And so then that's when Roland comes out and he's talking about how he should be invited because he's the godfather and all these things.
Where did this come from?
Well, we know that Roland fancies himself the godfather sure. of Johnny's children.
Okay,
like,
great.
That's a running gag, right?
But I also love, like, it made me feel a little sad for Roland how Stevie was like, it's just family. Like, okay, it would have been more exciting if we had invited Roland to this thing.
But then they would be odd numbers, and that just doesn't make for good gameplay, you know?
By Jocelyn, too.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? God,
no.
It's the roses.
They would never have gotten out.
They would. That would have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
So Roland starts talking about, well, Johnny's like, dude, get in there in case the phone rings. What yeah. are you doing? And he's like, okay, don't worry. I'll let you know when Ike Morrison calls. And he's like, you mean Mike Morrison? He goes, no, you said Ike. He says, no, it's Mike. Well, then that's weird because you said Ike, but Mike called and here's the message. And it's like, oh. Roland.
What are we doing here? This is like a Dumb and Dumber moment.
It is a really Dumb and Dumber moment. It's probably the stupidest joke they've ever done on the show.
It's like a Laurel and Hardy bit. Like who's on first?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's Abbott Costello.
That's Abbott and Costello.
Same shit, whatever.
Yeah, basically.
I literally don't know the difference. Like, I don't know. What's a classic Laurel and Hardy bit?
I don't fucking know.
Long story short, Johnny's like, well, fuck, okay, let me call him back now.
Hello? Oh, voicemail. Mike, hi, it's Johnny Rose calling. Sorry I didn't get your message. A few technical difficulties on our end, but it's Johnny Rose calling. Johnny Rose calling you back. Bye. Oh, I don't know. How did that sound?
Is there an option to redo it?
No.
Yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
I don't think you mentioned your name.
That's great.
It's so good.
And you know what? As he's leaving the message, I'm like,
yeah, say nobody, your name more, Johnny.
Nobody's going to get him. Let him get off with that. Like, somebody's going to make a comment, whether it's Stevie or Roland. Somebody's going to say something about him. Saying his name like three fucking times or four.
and not much else. Not even like a sorry I missed your call or whatever. It's just like, it's Johnny Rose calling. So
technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Johnny Rose. So coming back. Johnny Rose. The fuck? Oh, Lord have mercy.
Like, Roland is this, like, enigma of a fucking character. Because in the same breath that I fucking hate him, I yeah. fucking love him. I think yeah. he's hilarious. Like,
isn't it crazy how we find ourselves here now?
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know what? They've earned it. They, like,
absolutely.
They, in six seasons, brought us to a place where I love Roland. That's an yeah. arc that I can get behind, you know? It could also just be that we've been, like, beaten into submission at this point.
What?
You know? Like, because it's just like, all right, well, it's the end. Let's just give it, you know, like that kind of a thing.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But also, Stockholm Syndrome's real.
Yes, like, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? We like him.
Yeah, I don't think we're suffering or we've been, like, brainwashed
no.
at all.
No,
but,
no,
you know.
No.
Hey, it's Kaylee
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
So they arrive at the escape room.
Yes.
And everybody's there but Patrick, which is hilarious. Right. But it works because it's funny because none of them want to be there. And they're all sort of just trying to get each other into a headspace where they're like, this is fine. We'll be okay, right? This is just, we're just doing this for Patrick. And then Patrick comes in and it's
what did they say he was doing?
He couldn't find parking.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It took him a while to find parking.
And David is wearing a bride-to-be crown?
Yes.
Okay.
And his I'm Stupid shirt, which love.
Right. Love that.
I love that they wore the shirts like yeah. that because they really didn't have to. And it's cute that they did.
Yeah. I'm surprised David wore it.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Right.
Patrick, I wouldn't question that if he would or not. But David, I'm shocked he wore the shirt.
And I think the shocking thing is that like David said, okay, yes, we'll both wear the shirts. You know what I mean?
It literally says I'm stupid.
I know.
If David's wearing it.
It's so great.
Oh my God. It is fantastic.
It is great. And he wears it the entire night. Yes, like even does. At the bar later.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So they enter this room. Mm-hmm. Johnny, of course, is waiting for his callback from Mike. And Alexis looks phenomenal, not to get into who or what's, but she's finally gotten herself out of like sweatpants mode.
You know, I had to keep looking at this headband that she had in her hair.
It's fire.
Because holy shit, I'm like, are those just pins?
Well, like, it's got like it's the two metal bands that she's pinned on the sides using bobby pins.
Right.
And that just look like they're part of it because they're all the same metal.
She does. She looks fire.
They're so good.
She looks fire. So Johnny has to give up his phone.
Right.
Or he thinks he has to give up his phone.
In fairness to him, there's a bunch of other phones in that box, which where do they come from?
Who the fuck left their phone there?
I don't know. So he drops his phone and then they all go into this room. And the minute they cut to the room, I was like, why are we in the fucking Galapagos? Like immediately the alarm bells went off in my brain. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so triggering for Alexis. Like,
and sure enough.
Sure as shit. As she walks in, they say, you're in the Galapagos. And she's like, what the fuck? They get in there. They get locked in there. There's some random person in a hooded cloak sitting in the corner.
I
want to
say something about this person. I thought terrifying. It was a fucking mannequin at first. I thought when Maura approached it, her, whatever, that she was talking to a mannequin. So I'm like, oh, that's so funny. Ha, ha, ha. She thinks it's mannequin's going to help them or something. Or it's going to like able to,
it's
you
okay.
know,
I'm in the union too.
Right. I'm in the guild, she says. Guild. And somehow like they're listening to her through this mannequin. I'm like, oh, hilarious. But then when cut to Johnny, when he approaches it and it raises the hand, finger. I'm like, oh. I freaked out.
Really?
I freaked out.
Oh, no.
I thought the entire time that it was a mannequin.
Well, the thing that pissed me off about this, whoever that was, is that in the voiceover as they enter the room, the voice says, Darwin's assistant is on your side and is here to help you whenever you should need it. And then proceeds to be the most unhelpful person in that room the entire time. And that includes Moira, who does nothing but sit there. Like,
but also they didn't really ask for her for real help.
I mean, I suppose.
They asked her to let them out. Can I have my phone? Can you just let us out?
Johnny leaning over and trying to be like, now listen, my phone is very important and it's out there. And you know, if you just like help me out, like he's just so desperate for his phone.
Yeah. So they're really not asking her much.
The whole escape room thing is great. Patrick gets in there right away, take charge, because he's done this before. He knows the drill, yeah. Right? So he goes straight for the instructions. We're looking for finches with red beaks. The numbers are going to be the answer to the lock and, whatever. Yeah. And then he pairs himself up with Moira, who just literally takes a seat and does nothing. And then Alexis and
David
are a team, and Stevie and
Johnny
are a team. Thank you. I'm like losing names. And so Patrick finds the first red finch behind a lamp, yells out the number. I got a six, people. He's like so invested. Alexis and David are having a moment because this is where she starts to tell him, what am I doing? What the hell is this thing for me now, without my boyfriend and whatever. And then he starts to get kind of really invested in the game around that moment. Cause he's like, at first he's like super pissed. Cause he's like, this is why I don't like escape rooms. They shows that some people just don't work this way and it's not,
it makes you feel dumb.
Yeah. And so, and then Alexis just like looks up and finds the finch immediately, calls out the second number. They find the third one. They run over. David unlocks it. He's all excited. He's jumping up and down. And then he's like, there's no key here. Like, it's like, yeah, there's another clue. That's how it works. Yeah. And so like little by little, it all starts to fall together. Alexis fucking Rain Mans the shit out of it by the end.
What the fuck? She Rain Manned. She's not a fucking savant.
Well, isn't she, though?
I mean, I guess maybe in this moment.
They got that umbrella out of that drawer, and she knew the code and was able to make it say England. We didn't even, like, how the fuck did she
get umbrella?
There? No, what did I say?
You said umbrella.
I meant flashlight.
When did that happen?
Oh, my God. No, they find the flashlight in that drawer.
Yes.
And then next thing you know, she's figured out the code and like made it say England, and then she's like, thanks to my weekend with Tom Hardy, finds England, gets the laser beam, goes to the Egyptian statue, which she's like looking for Rami Malek, finds the pyramid.
That was amazing.
Finds the key and they're out of there.
Yeah.
Bip bop boop. They did it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
With 50 minutes to spare. Amazing.
I mean, it really is amazing.
She's so great.
In that time, as she's, as you said, Rain Manning the shit out of this thing and figuring out that this flashlight can't, oh, it's like a puzzle.
You mean umbrella?
The umbrella is a puzzle and spells out England at some point. Johnny,
oh my God,
gives them the news.
Because his phone starts ringing.
Right, and he can hear it.
He's like, that's my phone, that's my phone. And they're like, okay, what is it with your fucking phone, man?
Right.
And so Stevie's like, just tell them, Mr. Rose. Like,
yeah,
just get it over with kind of thing. Like, what are you waiting for, you know?
And they're all extremely excited about this.
Dude, the excitement they all feel as soon as they're like, oh my God, wait, what? Like, what the fuck? And then Alexis is like solving it all and they get out of there and they're like, get your phone.
Yeah.
It's palpable. It's the excitement. Also, quick note before we get out of this escape room scene, they did something really interesting with the fast-pacedness of it all. It really kept you on your toes, that whole scene. The quick cuts between, Moira pleading with this hooded figure to like give them the key, and Johnny saying I need my phone, and then the rest of them all like using the fire stoker to turn the thing. Like, it was just boom 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 boom, and it was all like, you all of a sudden you're like, yeah, solve it, get out of here,
Hands down, in this episode, my favorite moment is David yelling back at Patrick, I'm blowing.
Also, why was it only his responsibility to blow?
I don't know. Blow on it, David. Blow on it. I'm blowing. Jesus Christ.
And then Stevie's like, use this.
I have never heard David yell like that before.
It's so funny.
What the fuck?
Oh my God. Did you watch the behind the scenes thingy that they did?
I didn't. This is the only one that I've never watched.
Okay. So that scene on set, they had a guy up above turning those circles to the blue side.
Oh.
But Dan had to take that thingy, that contraption that Stevie hands him, and actually fucking, make the, even though it wasn't going to work on the circles. And then Stevie's like, okay, but you didn't really do it. And he's like, yes, I did. And she goes, okay, but you didn't turn the things. And he's like, well, yeah.
Really?
They're so funny.
Somebody was up there turning it.
Somebody was up there turning it. I mean, obviously, okay, right? Yeah. Like, his angle and the way that airflow works, like, no chance in hell. But it's hilarious to me that they're just like, blow, David. You should all blow. What are you doing?
But, you know, when they cut back to the scene,
yeah,
because they take a little, like, it's a little cut.
Yeah.
He's up there on his tippy toes, like, trying to blow these things.
I know, it's so funny.
Holy shit. I am blowing. Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a great scene. And so then they get out of there, and Johnny gets his phone.
4 voicemails.
Yes.
Put it on speaker.
Okay, is that the button with the arrow?
That's the button that's a speaker.
Speaker button.
John, call me when you can. We need an excuse to get out of the escape room thing.
Okay, I have something.
Hi, just reminding you that you can't bail in the escape room thing, even though all of us...
Yeah, I don't think we need to keep... I actually want to hear that one.
I don't think so.
Johnny, it's Mike Morrison returning your call.
This is it.
Just read your proposal, and I think it's a solid idea, my friend. Would absolutely love to take a meeting. Let's say 4 p.m. Tuesday at the New York office.
Oh, my God! Did I just hear that?
Oh, John.
Did I just hear what he just said?
Oh, my God!
We got a meeting!
They're jumping up and down.
Yeah.
All of them are, like, applauding and so excited and happy. It's wonderful.
When I watched this... I legitimately got teary-eyed when they were all applauding because I'm like, yes, abso-fucking-lutely, this is amazing news.
It's everything.
And I text you right away and I said, shut the fuck up. The very, you know, thing that upset them, disgusted them, you know, brought them together also at the same time in this show and in this town is going to get them out of this?
Yeah.
Like, motels.
The thing that's going to save them is motels.
Motels. Yep. I mean, fuck yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
I'm so excited.
I know, me too. This is good news. It's Mike Morrison news. Is excited.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, Mike Morrison.
Yeah.
Good on you, man.
Yep.
Good for you. So, we're at the Wobbly Elm. This is now David's portion of the bachelor party. Stevie's decked it out. She's got, like, a spread on the pool table with a picture of baby Dan and a picture of baby Patrick.
Now we see baby Patrick.
Oh, my God.
Stop. So cute. Why is it when people get married, they do, like, the baby picture thing, and it is the fucking cutest thing ever.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, like, when they put together these, like, movies.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, oh, look at how it all started. Yeah, that's how we all started. No fucking shit. But anyways, when they do it, and it's just like, because you imagine those two people who are together and in love and, like,
just living their own separate
lives. Making
a life
together, right? Yeah. At one point, they were like, these little, like, derps in the world, and it's so sweet.
It is very sweet to think about. I mean, the majesty of human connection on any level, when you think about, like, the machinations in play that lead any two people to know each other in any capacity is pretty spectacular.
It is.
And let alone, like, when they're going to build a life together, like you said, it's pretty amazing.
Especially when it's our beloved.
Well, yeah. That just makes it extra more special.
Oh, David and Patrick get out.
Moira gives us an amazing toast here.
Yes.
Full of many Moira say whats.
Before we find ourselves ebrious with hooch and happiness, may I say how very proud all of us are on this day of days.
Well, we did say no speeches, so.
Your father.
Guess they listened.
With his pecuniary savvy and intrepidation has turned what began as a cats and jammer of a day into one filled with faith, hope, and love.
The look that David gives Alexis as Moira is saying faith, hope, and love, just because this is on the heels of the conversation that they've just had where Alexis basically tells him, like, I need to get out of this town and spread my wings and find a bigger pot. The look that he gives her is so telling. It's such a, like, sibling telepathy moment. Oh, man, it's great.
Oh. Yeah, it's a look of, like, understanding of, like, I get it.
I see you.
Yeah.
I love you. I have faith in you. I have hope for you. Like, it's real good. Okay, so ebrious. Pretty self-explanatory means drunk and tipsy, But I think I've only ever heard it inebriated, you know? And so like ebrius hit my ear. I was like, wait, what does that mean? Pecuniary is relating to money. So she's applauding Johnny's, you know, business and financial sense here. Katzenjammer is my new favorite word of all time because here's why. It means confusion, uproar, you know, like to do. But colloquially, it's used as like a synonym for the word hangover.
Oh my gosh. How perfect.
So once again, Moira has full circled herself on her Moira say what words.
Yes. I like that.
So great. But yeah, that toast is wonderful and special. David follows it up with whoever picked these pictures, they were not sanctioned.
I mean, they're perfect though.
They're so cute. Yeah. I love them.
But like you said, we get the conversation before the toast.
That's true, yeah.
Where Alexis, you know, basically tells him, I'm growing out of my pot.
Mm-hmm.
So
that succulent metaphor. I love a good full circle moment. When we first got introduced to the Desert Daisy died, but it was the last remaining symbol of her relationship with Ted. And like, what does it mean that I killed this thing? And then for it to become a metaphor for her and for her need to spread her wings and fulfill her true potential, which lies outside of one client in a small town, small time business kind of thing. I cannot wait. I'm on the edge of my seat to see what's going to come of Alexis. She needed the time that she's had here in this town.
Yeah.
It's what has spurred her for growth because before they moved here, she too was aimless.
Yeah.
You know, she was always quick to jump on the next plane, go on the next adventure. Nothing ever like tied her down or scared her. But the fact that she's scared but excited and hopeful for what she can do now, you know, on her own merit, not on the heels of anybody else or anything else, but her own merit and capacity.
It's something much different and much bigger than she's experienced before because it's life on her own.
Exactly.
She doesn't have her mommy and daddy to fall back on if, you know,
or
once
a Stavros
she,
or a Tom Hardy or
it's
whatever.
It's not about a guy at this point. It's not about chasing somebody. Like David says, you've always chased a guy somewhere. It's not about that this time. It's about her.
It's about chasing herself.
And doing things for herself. And that's really exciting for her.
That's the thing that I love so much about it, I think, is that we, the audience, are obviously very excited for her, right? Because we care about her. We love her. Like, she's our girl, right?
Yeah.
But the line is that she's excited, too. She's discovering it as we are discovering it.
Yeah.
And she gets to have that level of excitement about it happening for her, too, which is just so special and awesome, you know, from like a writing perspective.
I think the real gift that's been given to me this past few days in to be able to rewatch this show, especially the first season. The very first episode for Alexis, she was so quick to get out of here. Stavros was going to come save her from all of this, and she was going to leave. And she had no issues with leaving her family behind. Mm-hmm. And now, cut to this moment in her life where she has built herself. She's made a life here with her and her family, and she's worried. She's worried about leaving. She's worried about leaving these people behind, but she also knows that it's something she needs to do for herself.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Any stray observations?
I don't think so.
The only one that I have that we sort of just like sort of skated over was the whole panic room escape room thing of it all. Like, I love that David makes the same mistake that Moira makes too, which just continues to highlight how similar they are.
Yeah.
But that Moira gets to name drop yet again about Joe Foster.
Well, there was a lot of name drops in this episode. We talked about Tom Hardy as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Rami Malek was obviously brought up.
That's so funny. It was a great episode.
It was.
Let's get into our second segment.
Who wore what best?
Whoop, whoop. For me, it's Alexis's outfit in the second half, like after the when they're in the escape room and then at the bar later.
After that, she has showered, since she hasn't showered in 2 days.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. She looks, that dress is so pretty. Mm-hmm. It's like red and gray with gold accents all over it. And she's done that headband thing that we talked about. And it's just really, really pretty.
Yeah.
She just looks so good. And I feel like I haven't had an Alexis moment in a while. I mean, that's not true, because I had one like four episodes ago, but like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just really like that dress. So
nice. Well, for me, I'm going to once again give it to my favorite couple, David and Patrick. I love these shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I want to buy one for my significant other and I want to walk around town wearing it. I'm going to have the arrow on my shirt. Just saying. But yeah, I love it. I love them wearing these shirts. I'm so glad that they were game for it and they did it. And it was perfect. So I'm going to give it to David and Patrick.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's get into ratings. Ratings.
This was a perfect episode. I honestly didn't have one single issue with this episode other than it being amazing. Mm-hmm. With everybody, with Johnny, even Roland made me laugh in this. Very excited for Johnny. I'm excited for Alexis. You know, all these revelations. I'm very proud of Stevie that she pulled this off. And I'm also excited for David and Patrick. I mean, they're getting married. And the comedy, as we said, because they were all together in this escape room, it was amazing. It was thick and rich with comedy. So it's a 5 out of 5 something Egyptian. So,
yeah. Nice. I completely agree. This is as close to perfect as this show gets. Having them all in the same room with each other, it makes for really good comedy.
Yeah.
And then to weave these epic moments for several of our characters at once into it as well, and give it that heart and give it that weight, is just amazing.
Yeah.
And speaks to the genius of the writing of the show. And so it's 5 out of 5 cats and jammers for me.
Nice. I like it.
Yep. That's going to do it for us.
I think so.
As always, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on social media at Upschitt's Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook, or at Upschitt's Creek on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/Upschitt's Creek, where for a limited time, if you subscribe to our podcast producer level, you can also get your hands on a piece of merch.
Yay.
And until next time,
we love you, shitheads. Kielvage.
Blessings. This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily, Lucina, and Daphne.
You're simply the best.